So resolutions are not bad. It's good to make them. The problem is whether you actually do them. I'm saying this in response to some things that were being said before you came in. It's just, resolutions are not bad. They're very good. Everybody who makes spiritual progress starts off by making a conscious decision that they will make spiritual progress. And it's whether or not you, after you make a, you make the decision, you follow through with it. The Wilkerson said that many times he felt an urge to go and pray, and God will put it on his heart to go and seek him, and he'll start. He'll seek God today, tomorrow, the day after, and so on. Then he'll give up and stop, and he'll do it again. Another time, God will stir his heart. He'll go and pray and pray, but then you get discouraged and give up. Or he get distracted and stop. But after about 5 years, he told himself, okay, no, not this time. I'm going to do it. And that time, he really did it. And God blessed him. He said that if he had not gone out and prayed, what he did was that he used to spend a lot of time watching TV. And God told him, but then he saw his spiritual life being kind of dry. What he said and what he experienced were not the same thing. There was a deadness. Say young people in their town were going out drinking, getting drunk, and not coming to church. It's not new. It was true way back then in the 1950s when he was talking about these things. And after a while, I told himself, no, this is death. This is not Christianity. This is not what I read in the Bible. God told him, okay, if you switch, give me the time that you spend on the TV, change it into a time of prayer, and then I'll do something with you. I'll show you through Pentecost. And because he was so tempted by the TV, he couldn't just turn it off and choose not to watch it. The only way he could stop watching it was that he sells it, so he sold it. And he began to pray. So what he did was he went out on a hillside next to their house. You go there every morning with his Bible and spend the whole day. It was at the beginning of summer. He spent the whole day there praying. He said at the beginning it was just a lot of discipline. But after a while, when you spend time with God, at the beginning it's a lot of discipline like it was for him, but then God begins to pull you and to draw you near. An interesting thing that I said, so after a while, I mean, he continued, when he got cold, he went inside and so on. And God changed him, and things began to change. See, at some point it was, he continued to do his work, but he was now so efficient in it, because he was spending the whole day there with praying out in the bush, so he had no time to do his other work. So then he said that now he could do one more in 1 hour than he did a whole day when he wasn't praying. And an interesting thing that he said that when he go out, and then he said it was as if God was all over him. He could barely go anywhere without praying. He'd be driving, God will say, pull the car over and pray, and he'd stop to pray. You could hardly go anywhere without that happening. It was a decision that he made. Okay, I'm going to sell the TV. I'm going to pray. And as a response to that call, and every Christian has received that call. Everybody has had a call to go out and seek the Lord until you find him. Now, an interesting thing that he said was that if he hadn't responded that particular time, if he hadn't gone and sought God, he said that he will be divorced. His children will be all divorced. And he'd be a buxom, a dead man. He said around that time when God told him to sow the seed, they were having a lot of premarital problems, he and his wife. And he said it was because, not because of anything wrong with her. He said it was because he was not seeking God. Wasting time in front of a TV to clear out his frustration was how he put it. Now, the Dominican Republic, he told the people, I know you don't do that. You do it on a computer. You don't sit in front of a TV and watch cowboy movies like he was doing. He said, I know you don't do that because you do it on a computer. So if the story was happening today, you would might have had to sell his computer. He was 27 years old at the time. A young man. He could have been at MIT. Grad school or something. It's amazing. I've thought about that ever since. And I've heard him retell this, say this story more times than you want to know. In various settings, it's both encouraging and it is scary. It's encouraging in the sense that it means yes. One of the things I like about him is the way that he shares his struggles, because some of those other folks, when you listen to them, it's as if they never had a problem. And I was listening to him last night and or watching some of his messages. And he was saying in one of those that, you know, he used to go to conferences when he was a young man and hear some of these men of God preach, and then he'd be like, do these people ever have like struggles and stuff? They all sound like their spiritual life is going well. So he told himself, if someday I have a chance to preach to ministers, I will bare my soul to them. I'll let them know the things I've gone through. And that's part of what's been very useful in listening. So his story, it's encouraging. It means that you can seek God, and God is no respecter of persons. If you seek him like he did, you also find him like he did. On the other hand, it's also scary. Because like he said, if he had not sought God, probably be divorced. His children would be all messed up. And it makes me think, I thought about it and I say, how many people, and I know that call comes to every Christian, how many people did God call and say, spend time with me, and they did not respond? And now a string of things have happened to them because of that. It makes you wonder, what would life have been like if you had made it a point to seek the Lord and get to know him? It's we're in a world where There's a lot of things that call for your attention. I was in one of our, we had a monthly meeting of my research group and at a Brigham Hospital. And a lot of these people, I come back from a conference, the AMIA conference, the American Medical something, informatics, Medical Informatics Association, something like that. And it's the big thing every year that people go to and stuff. And we were chatting about what happened there and as it relates to the work that we do. And then the lady that leads the group was like, commented on how in the field there are that we work on, there are many, you know, people that do approach the problem from various angles. And it's like, if you listen to this person, you'll really be convinced that what matters the most is the aspect that they to focus on. Like, this person is like, it's the grammar. It's all about the grammar to get this sort of thing. You listen to this other person, and it's all about this particular thing here. And you listen to this other, it's all about this thing. So, and what I'm trying to say is that I thought of a few things that are like that. In life, there are so many things that you can convince you this is the most important thing. Maybe they tell the most important things for you to get a job and get your career right. Mess with everything, but don't mess with that one thing. Make sure your career is straight. And then there for other people, it's like family. Oh man, make anybody angry. Just don't displease your mom and dad and brother, sister, family. If they want you to, you know, fly to the moon, do it. And if they want you to go down in the sea, go there. Then there are other people there. It's like it's all about, you know, having a relationship with someone. And so people wake up in the morning trying to get one, and they go to bed at night trying to get one. And for other people, it's looking good. It's all about, you know, training yourself and building your body and being healthy and living long and stuff like that. Whatever it is, and for many people here, it's the grades. But you have to remember that the most important thing is following Jesus. And that's a battle. It's something you have to fight to stay in. And Pastor Dave, was saying that how till nowadays, said, has it been easy? It hasn't been easy. It's like a battle that goes through. I say people come to him now, younger people, they ask him, so now that he is what they call an old man, they ask him, so what's your struggle, what are your struggles now? He said it remains that one thing, to make time for God, the battle to stay on my knees doesn't go away. You have to make it a point. At 90 years old, over 90 years old, Daniel still had to make up his mind that he said he set his face to seek the Lord God in prayer and supplication with sackcloth and fasting. You have to you remember he got in trouble because he was praying three times a day. It's to tell you that there is a battle against your being on your knees and your praying. There's a battle against any person who sets himself to pray and seek God regularly, like Daniel was doing three times a day. The devil will raise a conspiracy to interrupt you. There'll be a conspiracy of interruptions to discourage you and sidetrack you and so on. So I'm trying to say resolutions are good. Make resolutions. But then make sure you follow through with them. You will be blessed if you... That time when you decided, I'm going to read my Bible every day, you did the right thing. That was the right decision to take at that time. But should I follow through? That one decision when you said, I'm going to cut off this person that badly influences me, who is a wrong influence in my... You made the right decision. But you should have followed through with it. That time when you decided, I'm never again going to sit down with people when they're having dirty talks. That was a good decision that you made. Just make sure you follow through with it. That time when you told yourself, I'm always going to read the book of the month. I'm going to read one Christian book per month. You made a good decision. If you have followed through with it, you'll be blessed because of it. When you decided, you pick the time. And you say, at this time, I'm going to pray. You made a very good decision. You should just make sure you follow through with it. Your future on earth and your future in eternity depends on your relationship with God. If that is shaky, everything else will be shaky as well. In His love and mercy, God may make one thing here nice and one thing here nice, but there will be no overall order. Now, there are some people that used to have that consistency in seeking the Lord, then they backslid from it. And that does happen to people. But then what you do is you set your heart again to go back and seek God. This January, I've been thinking about a lot of things lately. This January, we'll do something that we have never done before, and that I've seen done only in one place. We will all read our Bibles from Genesis to Revelation. We'll gather here. If there are more people here, I was going to find out who will be here on December 31st. We will read. Now, at the National Prayer Chapel, don't say you cannot do it. At the National Prayer Chapel, I saw kids who are this tall. They're a tiny fraction of your height. And they've read their Bibles from Genesis to Revelation in a month. You can do it as well. Don't say you're busier than they are. They are very busy. They have a lot of toys to play with and a lot of energy to expend. We'll read. What you can do, if that's too much for you, start after you're done with your finals. Don't spend your IEP going around, traveling the world, going left and right. Use it to seek God and make spiritual progress in ways that you cannot do during class time. That's what I did with mine. My Yes, it's about 40 chapters a day. But what you do is that you take your Bible. I suggest one with no commentary. That is something not like this one. Take a good old plain Bible. Take page number one, Genesis 1, subtract it from the last page of chapter of Revelation, divide it by 31. That gives you the number of pages you should read a day. And in my Bible that my scratch Bible, that's 36 pages a day, approximately. That's 12 pages for the morning, for breakfast, 12 pages for lunch, and 12 pages for dinner. And you have, what will happen after we've done that will be this: the Word of God would have prepared your heart and scared you away from sin, exposed worldliness, given you a new outlook on life. The way you see things and the way that God sees things will be more lined up. And as you read it and you're obedient to what you read, you'll get to the point where God can pour out His Holy Spirit on your heart. What? I can't hear
you.
Yeah, what they do is on January 1st, they all get together and they read the Bible. And, well, usually we do it till like up to chapter 18 or 20 or Genesis, something like that. And then from then on, people read it on their own. But yeah, but I have checked. I went to this little boy and I was like, "Where are you, Edward?" And your brother, well, no, rather they asked him at church, "Where are you?" He says, "Somewhere in Samuel." And it made sense. On that day, he must have been in, you should be in Samuel if you have actually been reading it. So, and God blesses those children. The reason why we do it is this, right? The things that, like I was saying, you hear a lot of things and you see a lot of things. And you get all this sensory input that comes to you from all directions. And what those do is that they block the voice of God from coming through to you. It really takes, at the very beginning, a departure for some period of time at least, where you put the other books aside. I'm not talking about your school books and stuff. I'm talking about the, where you put aside the other stuff. You turn off the entertainment from TV or most likely internet and other things. You cut down on the time you chat and do all that and waste your time. And then you give God an opportunity to speak to you. Every day you feed, like Jesus said, the man will not just live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from you. Make it a point that I'm going to feed on God's word for a period of time. Then God will begin to speak to you like you've never heard Him before, and something new will begin to happen in your heart, and we'll be closer to the revival that we're praying for, because people would have taken time to seek God through His Word, to have Him speak to them. It's amazing how people in the world invest tremendous amount of time on doing. I heard that President Clinton, when he took office, there's this big thingy that you gotta read or something. He read the whole thing in one night. People invest in the thing that really matters to them. when you give God the time to speak to you, when we all do that as a church, as a body, we'll try it so that by the time the spring semester comes and you now go back to your classes, you have a different view of life, and you would have started the year right. I read someone wrote a note recently on his Facebook, and he said on there that this is MIT, and I say that I'm busy, but I see myself also wasting a lot of time in ways that I cannot I can't explain. It means that people do have time. It means that this person has a lot of work to do, but also finds opportunity to waste a lot of time in many ways. So this person has a lot of work to do, and he could also choose to spend a lot of time with God instead of wasting that time that he by his own admission, is wasting. So, yeah, try it out. If you want to, you can start. You can start ahead of time. You can start in December after classes are done or something. And then that will maybe decrease it to 30 chapters a day or so for you. All right. I was going to, we're going to do a Bible study on something, but I don't want to keep everybody here too long.